Horseback scan initiated. I'm picking up a podcast arriving. Wait. Designation: Forge the Narrative.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host. I'm joined by Adam Camilleri.
G'day, everybody.
And Tanya Gates.
Hey, everybody.
This will be a video podcast. We're actually going to put this on YouTube in video. It'll be up in podcast form. The people listening through the podcast on their aggregators won't know a difference, but you can go and check us out over there and see what we're up to, because I'm going to show some stuff off because, there's a lot to show off. There's really just a lot to talk about. We're going to be talking about Blood Angels this episode, which you may ask yourself, how is that different than any other episode? And I'm here to tell you that it's going to be some stuff for the brand new edition with the new Codex release, and we get to show off some cool things like this because Games Workshop was kind enough to send this to us. This is the thing I just showed is the slipcover for the data cards that come in the box.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's the upgrade sprue out of control. I mean, there's all kind of stuff in there. The new Lamartis model is great. New Astrath model is awesome. Can't say enough good things.
Give us a number out of 10 about how happy you are with the new miniatures. And feel free to be critical.
So I think, let's get to that, because I want to talk about the good, the great, and then some of the things that, you know, may be something that some players, you know, have to get used to and may struggle with. So I guess let's just start with some of the stuff that may be a little bit difficult. There's some things going to be missing from the Codex.
Tycho. So where did you go, Tycho?
Tycho, Corbulo, Sanguinary Priest with a Jump Pack.
Gabe Seth.
Gabriel Seth, Librarian Dreadnoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some things that are going to be absent. And so if you've been playing with them or you know, maybe recently got them for whatever part of your collection, they're going to be missing. And so I think that's taking that head on is about the only way to do it.
It was pretty obvious some stuff was going to be going, especially after seeing what the Dark Angels 1 wrought, where we lost quite a few units there. It's probably going to be the case for all of them. I mean, who knows what's going to happen to, you know, Black Templars and Space Wolves when they get their equivalents also.
Well,
you know, so there are some things that are very easy port overs. As we have seen, they are willing to port over some things into, I'm not going to say this with any foreknowledge or whatnot, but you can make some assumptions based on what we've seen. Yeah, you can make some assumptions based on what we've seen. The game is, Space Wolves are ripe for, you know, Primaris Blood Claws. You know, that essentially it's just an Assault Intercessor with maybe, you know, hits worse, but has another attack and a different upgrade sprue, you know? There's a lot of really cool stuff there.
Yeah, specifically with like the Blood Angels, and you know, not getting too far into speculation land, is that seeing what they'll do to push those kits, I think, is great. And like the upgrade sprues and some... So the Death Company, and we can talk about, we'll get there in a few minutes, you're going to have options still. You are going to have some options. I think maybe what you were asking me for was like how I felt about like the Sanguinary Guard models and the fact that they don't have wings.
Yes.
We talk a little bit about that on the previous show. I'm sure that anytime there's change, people are going to really feel it. You know what I mean?
Gnash their teeth. And
the wings, though, I'm less concerned about the wings because I have a penchant for like snapping them off and needing to repair them. So I'm a little less worried about that. There are some choices with the Sanguinary Guard, like without a lot of them don't have, well, none of them that we see in the pictures have sculpted knee pads, and the shoulder pads seem to be a little bit more conventional than ornate.
Are you tap dancing around the nippleless chest pieces?
No, I have it on like good authority. We're gonna get like a full on nipple sprue. No,
a nipple.
I'm completely okay.
100%. Big ones, little ones, shiny ones, ones you could hang a cone hanger off.
Completely kidding about that. But some people have been like, say, cool, well, now I've got like, and I'm talking about some of the rosier comments out there. It's like, well, great, now I'm going to have even more kind of a synergistic look between Dante and the Sanguinary Guard. Like,
that is true. Dante is going to look right at home next to these guys.
I do think, and I don't want to talk about the aesthetic too much because this will be in the eye of the beholder, and I completely empathize with some folks out there that are lamenting some of the change. But with the, I'm a kit basher, and so I'm going to use bits. I'm going to swap shoulder pads. I have a bunch of the bits and stuff before, and so I'm going to put them on my Sanguinary Guard where appropriate, and then throw the old Sanguinary Guard right in the trash.
Wow.
No, of course not. No, of course not. Like, but the weapons are different. Some of the weapons are different, which we can talk about when we get to that section. With the fact that we've got, you know, some of these things that are changing, like it is, it's a completely different world with Lamartey's and, which by the way, the model for Lamartey's is awesome. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So the Lamartey's model to me is a 10 out of 10 home run. The Astrath model is just like, it's just Astrath again, just bigger. It just feels like they didn't, they're like, there's no need to do anything extra. We're just like, let's just make the same model on today's scale with the today's technology. Whereas Lamartey's is a complete reimagining, and I think it's fantastic.
It's a by miles the best model he has ever had. Like I have often not used the actual Lamartey's model in favor of a Kitbash chaplain I've played with for a long time. This model and this incarnation will get play. People will be proud and happy to use that model.
You know why Lamartey's is my favorite?
Oh,
everyone take one guess why he's my favorite.
Gives minus one damage to incoming attacks.
He's flat-footed on a base.
Okay.
Instant 10 out of 10.
No tactical
instant
rock.
Instant 10 out of 10. He's got his feet flat, and he looks like he's going to do stuff. Everyone else is off balance, just skimming off to the left because whatever world full of tactical rocks they're on, that one was a bit awkward that day. Yeah.
So to continue to get some of the not so great out of the way, just the things that I think that when we look at the book, what we're going to be like, okay, why did we only go so far and not go even further? And there's a section in here where you can have a Death Company captain and you can have a Death Company dreadnought, but it's only the Brutalis Death Company dreadnought. There's no longer a regular Death Company Furioso dreadnought.
Yeah.
So no Furioso dreadnought in there. There is the Ball Predator, but I thought this was like a perfect way to maybe put in like a Ball Gladiator, you know, those types
of
things.
We talked about this, didn't we? There is a lot of scope here to just like make a turret, and all of a sudden you got a ball gladiator. Maybe off the Lancer chassis, so it has the multi-melter sponsons, because that makes a lot of sense. And then yeah, bada bing, bada boom. Like maybe yeah.
And then with the fact if we're gonna go with painting, you know, just models black and having to be the Death Company, why stop it where they stopped? You know, like
yeah.
Just have everything, get an option of that. But again, this is just me as trying to put myself in the shoes of some folks that are going to be viewing it. But that is really like we just asked, why isn't there more? And maybe, who knows? But there's still a lot of great stuff in there, and I want to jump into that.
Just such a missed opportunity. No Death Company suppressors. Just biggest missed opportunity.
Look, who knows what White Dwarf in the future holds or whatever. But it's now, let's really, and I mean that, I wanted to jump into the criticisms just because, well, one you asked, and then I know some other people will ask out there. But what are some amazing things out there? Dante and Mephiston got better.
Well, I'm waiting to see the points, of course, before we have any like final say on things, because you know it's not always the case that the points in the back of the book are the points we're going to be playing with in a competitive setting. But right now, Mephiston looks absolutely amazing. He looks so good. In addition, you now have two, you know, new Sanguinor, new Mephiston. You have probably the two most durable infantry lone operatives in the game in the same army. And that feels really powerful. Like you talk about Lictors, Death Leaper, all these things like that. Like, Sanguinor and Mephiston, just absolute houses to kill. Two up saves, invulnerable saves, feel no pains, high toughness than average. And then they just destroy things in combat, and you can just deploy them on the board if you want, you know? Absolutely wild. I reckon it's really powerful.
No, I played them, had a chance to play them over the weekend, played them against the Master Mel Terran forces. I tell you, you know, they're the one limitation is they're not really good at punching Lehman Russes to death, you know, but at the same time.
Oh, mate. My heart weeps for you.
But they do a good job of pushing everything else out. And when I say Mephiston got better, is that Mephiston still stout. Movement 7, toughness 5, 2+ save with a 5+ invulnerable save, 6 wounds, leadership 6+, OC1, which you can expect from characters, but a feel no pain of a 4+.
Yeah.
4+ feel no pain, fights first, lone operative.
Yikes.
What were they thinking? Now, Mephiston is absolutely amazing. Do you remember that? Everyone will remember the days, maybe not Tanya, where Mephiston was like a single miniature that you could hide behind a pedal that was strength 10, instant death, force. and would just go like one tap Swarm Lords and like, that's a nice Bane Blade you got there. Be a shame if I Mephistoned it. Bang. You know, Wings of Sanguinius just flying 10 inches and bonk, dead. He feels like he's going to be going much more back to that trajectory.
He absolutely is. And also has the quickening too, which allows him to advance and charge. So there is, like, when I said that movement 7, you got a potential of a really, really far movement of this lone operative character with that can deliver a ton of attacks. Has a psychic attack, like Force Lightning, in addition to the Plasma Pistol, and then the Veritas, which is 6 attacks hitting on 2s, strength 9, neg 3 AP, D3 damage.
He's really good, really good.
Yeah. Epic Hero, of course, Chief Librarian Mephiston. Should have been addressing him by his full title the entire time. my experience with playing with him so far is he did exactly like you're describing. He can go and lock down a table quarter just by the presence being there, that no one really knows, wants to get too close, because he's capable of doing so much and then can still take out a lot of stuff.
Well, here's the thing, yeah. You're like, okay, I'm gonna make you think Mephiston's gonna go over and solve this table quarter, and your opponent's like, I reckon I can handle Mephiston. And so they go and they fight Mephiston, bam, Sanguinor. and you're like, oh shit, there's two of them.
Well, with also, you know, a lot of people have units that are good at completing some of those secondary objectives, containment, you know, those types of things. You know, you can't send out a 5-man squad of anything and hope it's going to stand up against Mephiston, because it probably won't.
Nah, it really won't.
So mentioned that Mephiston got better. I believe that is the case. Dante, I believe, also better. Commander Dante, again, I should be addressing them with the full honorifics that they deserve and have earned, is that movement 12, toughness 4, 2 plus save, 4 plus invulnerable save, 6 wounds. The cool thing here, the Axe of Mortalis, 8 attacks, strength 8, neg 3 AP, 2 damage, and then the Perdition Pistol, strength 9, neg 4, D6. But it also has sustained hits, so looking for the 6s on that. Absolutely light things up, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, he also gives plus 1 to advance and charge rolls made for the units that he joins, and plus 1 attack to the hit roll. So plus 1 advance, plus 1 charge, plus 1 to hit. And of course, at the start of the fight phase, you can force some battle shocks as well with the death mask.
That came up so much. With the battle shock with the death mask of Sanguinius. And also, we're going to talk about this maybe on the back half of the show, but the angelic host allows you to do some bouncing, you know, with jump pack units.
Yep.
And Dante with that plus 1 to charge.
8-inch, you know, 8-inch, possibly rerollables. There is a lot of advance and charge in this codex. Going through the 3 detachments, detachments we've been giving, I think all of them have advanced charge access, either by strategy
or the ability to break out of combat, fall back and act normal, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So Dante just adds so much flexibility there. As long as the points are right, he's going to be absolutely amazing.
Yeah. So I know so the points in the back of the book may not be what the points are when it comes. And there's a nice little note in the back of the book that says, look, you know, play with these or scan the QR code and go get the most recent points. That is what the back of the book says, which is very nice. But it felt really good to play with the Blood Angels in this codex and describe why the list that I took, and we'll talk about the detachments like normal. Going with the Sanguinary Guard, 3 units of Sanguinary Guard. If the squad side's different now, 6 instead of 10.
Yeah, which is definitely the new skewed for, you know, 3 wound Primaris Infantry. Apart from...
But you just said 3 wounds. Black Templars. That's better.
Because it is, yeah.
And there's another
only
better thing about
Primaris Sword Brethren are 5 and 10. Every other one, you know, Blade Guard, Inner Circle Companions, and now, Sanguinary Guard are now the 3s and the 6s, which I think is cute. I think it enables a lot more balanced options. And now, especially now for, you know, Inner Circle Companions and stuff like that, you can put them in Impulsor with the character, thank God. So they're a lot more flexible there too. But man, Sanguards still look fine. They still look really good. Do you like the blade or the spear?
So let me drop this hammer, no pun intended, because they don't have hammers, but 4 plus invulnerable save.
Or power fists.
Yeah.
But 4 plus invuln.
4 plus invulnerable save. Can't just absolutely, when it works, it works. You know, what we say, 4s are fickle. But, you know, being able to hang out and with an extra wound and a 4 plus invulnerable save where they weren't able to hang out really before in certain situations was massive. And I did not miss at all the extra models in the squad. That, of course, is very situational, but I still felt like they could hang tough.
So right now in the back of the book, and of course, like we said, take it with a grain of salt, they are 50 points a pop, which ain't cheap. but I don't believe what they're bringing breaks the bank either. Like, you're not going to feel bad about taking a unit of these, especially when you attach a character. And so they're minus one to hit, minus one to wound, 2+ armor save with access to armor contempt, and of course cover, 4+ invulnerable save. Like, you think about the price comparison between them and Blade Guard, who essentially are, you know, 3 wound, 4+ invulnerable save infantry, but they don't have jump packs. They don't have a premium gun as well, which they definitely do.
You're talking about the Inferno Pistol. You can still get an Inferno Pistol on there.
Exactly right. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, so just a quick price comparison, as soon as my points load up in my app. So a Blade Guard veteran costs you, how much at the moment? 30 points a pop. So it is 20 points difference. Take it with a grain of salt. But 20 points, worth you it. Have double the movement, plus fly, a 2+ armor save instead of a 3+ armor save, the same amount of attack with arguably better weapons, a actual gun on each model, and minus one to hit, and possibly minus one to wound. I think that is a lot for 20 points.
So you asked about the sword or the spear. There's also the banner, like squashing like a banner, gives that ratchets up your OC, which actually worked out. Love that. Love having the extra OC for the banner. I believe the banner has, looking at the pictures, has a spear attached to it. I actually like both weapons, but I like the sword when I paired them with a Space Marine captain with a jump pack, because the captain allows you access to a stratagem at a discount with their special captain ability, the Rites of Battle ability, and I found myself gravitating to them, giving them lethal hits and precision with the stratagem out of the Angelic Host, and I felt the extra attack. So the sword gives you 4 attacks per, the spear is 3 attacks per, but the spear gives you Lance being plus one to wound, which is always good, but I felt like when I was going to access that stratagem more often, i.e. at that discount, that I wanted the extra attacks to get the lethal hits.
Yeah, and of course there's the detachment, which is the same as the index attachment, where you still will get plus 2 strength, bringing them up to strength 8 with the sword, meaning that the plus one to wound, you know, unless you are going into toughness 9, would have been the same thing anyway. So yeah, I personally think the swords are probably slightly better, but I can see where you're playing against, you know, Imperial Knights and things like that, the lance will really come in handy.
That may be where our perception is like I was trying to stab into Lehman Russ's and needed the extra the extra plus one to wound, which was good. But also I think the lethal hits, you know, again with that stratagem, sword having the extra attacks was good. Although I did not use it. This is my reflection upon that. I actually went with all spears just to test them out. And you know, talking with my opponent, it seemed like we wanted to maybe at least have one unit of the swords. But going into, I think, a take all comers, probably those extra attacks is great. And you were talking about actually, let's jump into the detachments. The Liberator Assault Group, and this is the one that has the Red Thirst. This is the one that we all kind of come to know and love. Plus one attacks, add 2 to strength of weapons as the detachment rule, and then a list of enhancements. Speed of the Primarch. Once rattled, start of the fight phase, the bearer can use this enhancement. If it does so until the end of the phase, models in the bearer's units have the fight first ability. Models in the bearer's units have the fight first ability. Really good.
Fantastic.
Rage-Fueled Warrior, that's the next one. Once per battle, at the start of the fight phase, the bearer can use this enhancement. If it does so until the end of the phase, the bearer's melee weapons have sustained hits 3. You're already rolling a lot of attacks.
Yeah, very cute when paired with Oath of Moment. But I still actually think that's one of the worst ones in this. That first one I think is absolutely cracked. And so the next one is if you try and fall back from this unit, the bearer of this unit, you must make a desperate escape. And if you are battle shocked, you will have minus one as well. So you'll die half the time trying to fall back from these units if you're battle shocked. And then Gift of Foresight is auto flip a hit, wound, or saving throw to a 6 once per battle round. So that's 5 times you can flip a Thunder Hammer roll to a devastating wound, 5 turns per game, possibly. So that one's really good as well. So I think it's the last one and the first one are the absolute, you know, swinging for the fences for me. The fights first is really good.
Yeah. I mean, fights first, especially, you know, when you mentioned having that, well, we mentioned having it on 2 characters, like that you're probably going to want to take Mephiston and the Sanguiner. And so now you're going to have it on a third character. You take so much wind out of the sails, so much power away from your opponent if they were playing an assault force into you.
I can TLDR the stratagems up for you pretty quickly if you'd like. Yeah. So if every one of these three detachments, of course, has Armor Contempt back into one of their stratagem suites and then have five others. There is one here, Angelic Grace, which is a five-up Feel No Pain against Mortal Wounds, which can be pretty good because it happens after you have the Mortal Wounds allocated. So you can see if someone's going to do six Mortal Wounds with an Exploding Imperial Knight, then trigger your Feel No Pain. But then all the other four have a really cute, like, second tier on them. Similar to, let's say, probably the Dread Mob, where you get to, you know, push the button and go harder.
Love
you can choose
this.
To become, yeah, you can choose to become Battle Shocked, and then you get both sides of the stratagem. The first one being one CP for plus one strength or attacks, or you choose to become Battle Shocked and you get both. You still get the trigger of the stratagem, as it specifically says, the stratagem triggers and then you're Battle Shocked. But you get both if you choose to become Battle Shocked. So you can just choose to go a bit harder. The next one is one CP for Lance or Lethal hits, or become Battle Shocked and get both. Lance and Lethals is huge. And another reason why, if you're taking this detachment, you maybe don't want to take the spears as much because you have a one CP access to Lance. Then you have Shoot and Charge after advancing for one CP. You know, become Battle Shocked, get both, or just one CP, advance and charge, advance and shoot. And then the last one is fall back and shoot, fall back and charge, or become Battle Shocked and do both. Really, really cool flexibility here. And of course, if you're playing with Death Company, you're OC zero anyway. You're not giving up all that as much as many other things are when they become Battle Shocked, and you still get the use of a stratagem. So the only time it's going to be a downside to push the button, I guess, is when you're specifically killing them to flip an objective in your favor for, say, extend battle lines or something similar like that, overwhelming force, so to speak.
So what you're alluding to with the taking the negative and getting both is that they're losing themselves to the red thirst. Like, that is what's happening, and they're falling into the battle, you know, and taking that negative of being the battle shock. So only able to be targeted by the specific stratagem that you are targeting them with right now. They get the benefit of that stratagem, but then lose all the other stuff that you're would come with battle shock.
You can do very cute timing things with this, though. You can be like, Armor Contempt, now become Battle Shocked with the stratagem, you know? And so there's a lot of cute things you can try and activate to get around certain timing stuff.
I would just like make a suggestion for people. If you're going to play this detachment, please LARP it.
Yes.
Right? Like, just make comments about how, you know, you're there, you know, fighting against Horus and stuff. Just LARP it the entire time.
So the world caught fire when a gentleman playing World Eaters just started shadowboxing and doing push-ups during his opponent's turn. What is the Red Thirst equivalent of such a play, Paul? So you're playing thematic Blood Angels. You're the inactive player. What are you doing to manifest the power of the Blood Angels on the table?
You have to call your opponent Horus all the time. Not only you have to, but don't shout at them. You have to, like, shout off in the distance, but they know you're talking to them. And you have to have actually push your models as far forward as all times as possible to get them into combat. Yep. No restraint.
Just bring a stack of pieces of paper with Vengeful Spirit written on them, and just every minute just tear one up.
You might also have to be drawing a beautiful picture, and then, you know, when it comes time to attack, you have to ball the paper up and, you know, throw it on the ground.
I think that you could also do, like, a righteous monologue the entire time that your opponent is moving models.
Yeah, that's pretty good too.
I love that.
You should have a chalice and then find the reddest energy drink you can. And, like, at the top of every turn, you shotgun it. You know, if you go on the red first, you shotgun it. Otherwise, you pour it daintily into your chalice, you chug it, and you get on with business.
The next detachment is the Lost Brother, and this is the Death Company detachment. The special rule is a noble death in combat. Each time a Death Company model from your army makes a melee attack, reroll a wound roll of 1 if that model's unit is below the starting strength. If that model's unit is below half strength, you can reroll the wound roll instead. So basically, by round 3 and beyond, you're rerolling wounds, which is pretty significant, especially when you have Oath of the Moment already and some other tricks that you're going to get from the rest of the force.
Yeah, this is a cute one. So, of course, there are a lot of very good things about Death Company. Of course, it comes with downsides. As we know, they have to feel no pain, but they get no OC. They hit ridiculously hard. But yeah, this is going to be a really interesting detachment. So I have noted here also that you get Death Company Marines with bolt rifles or Death Company Intercessors. They all get the battle line keyword. So you can really fill your list up with these things. And of course, we know battle line is pretty incentivized in the prior Nexus mission packet as well. So despite not having OC, of course, if you have chaplains around, you get to do all the things, you know, get to fall back.
Well, the chaplain gives you the OC two back. Like you get, I mean, sorry,
exactly.
It gives you your OC also. I used a terrible choice of words there. You get your OC of one on the unit with a chaplain around.
I would like to tell you guys that Death Company Marines with bolt rifles or Death Company Intercessors are really pushed in this book. I'm not sure if they're, you know, pushed to be, you know, good enough that we want to start taking things en masse of these guys, but they're OC one. So they are OC one. They're not OC zero and they get, you know, whatever. But they, of course, have the chaplain caveat. But once per turn, you can target this unit with the Fire Overwatch or Heroic Intervention Stratagem for 0 CP. So free CP use, a la if you had a captain. And of course, because these are named specifically, you do get them for free. And each time model this unit makes a ranged attack, you can reroll the hit roll or you can reroll the charge roll, whichever one applies. I really love this unit. And we finally have a Primaris Eviscerator. Praise freaking be. I'm so happy.
The upgrade sprue is actually, it's two frames. It's not just one upgrade. Like there's a bunch of stuff that's on there. You're going to be able to sprinkle those around. And that the box that we're talking about right now is an amazing value. You get so many upgrade sprues in there and bits and parts. Like you can start to rebuild your treasure trove of cool Blood Angel bits for all, you know, your primary needs.
For every 10 Death Company Marines with bolt rifles, you can have one Eviscerator, and then for every 5 models unit, one model can be equipped changed with a grenade launcher, of course. And then one model's close combat weapon can be placed with one of the following power fist power weapon, the Thunderhammer. Of course, you're taking the fist of the Thunderhammer. So you can have 5 guys with, as far as I can tell, a sergeant. No, you can't equip the sergeant. So you can have a fist or a Thunderhammer and an Eviscerator, 3 guys with guns and a grenade launcher. It's actually a pretty well-rounded unit all of a sudden.
The jump pack unit too has a lot of options as well. There's been some folks that I think have kind of been hesitant to think that the way you equip the Death Company before is not going to, or sorry, the way you equip the Death Company in the Index is not going to be how you do it in the Codex. And that's okay, I think, because you get a few more tricks and still a lot of utility out of the unit. So the enhancements for this detachment, Sanguineous's Grace, death once per battle. At the end of the fight phase, if the bearer is within engagement range of 3 or more enemy models, the bearer can fight one additional time.
That is sick. That is one of the first fight twice as we've seen in this entire game so far.
Blood Shard, Death Company model only. The first time the bearer is destroyed, at the end of the phase, roll a d6 and a 2+, set the bearer back up. That is not close to where it was destroyed, not within engagement range, with 3 wounds remaining.
Cute. Very good. Very, very not Death Company.
They're reborn.
They wanted to die. Like, they wanted to die. Come back.
Yeah, but it didn't work. Didn't take. Too tough.
I do like To Slay the War Master is the title of the next enhancement. It's pretty much once per battle at the start of the fight phase, when you're within engagement range of one or more enemy character units, you pretty much get to grenade them. So you roll 6d6 for each 4+, one character model in that unit suffers a mortal wound. But if I'm reading this right, the character model, so you get to snipe them in the unit with the mortals. So you don't, you know, because usually unless you have precision, you can't allocate attacks to the
units. And roll a d6 for each 4+, one character model in that unit suffers one mortal wound.
You are sniping them in combat with a grenade stratagem on their character. I've got 3 wound characters in all over my guard army.
You had 3 wound characters in your guard army.
Yeah. Absolutely hate this, mate. Yeah, this is cute. This is really cute. I'm not sure how good it is because you want to be playing in a meta where this is going to pop off. But I think about Accursed Cultists. They have a 5+ invulnerable save as long as they have this little 3-wound idiot in the unit from the Dark Commune. And you're like, here's a grenade stratagem to the face in combat with precision, baby. Take them all. See you later. Really good.
Vengeful Onslaught's the next one. Death Company models only. If the bearer is destroyed until the end of the next turn, each time a friendly Death Company model makes an attack, add 1 to the hit roll. This is just not in that unit. Each time.
End of your next turn, your army-wide +1 to hit.
Yeah.
Go and get your guy killed. That's what he wants anyway.
digging that and going to the suite of stratagems. All these have armor and contempt. That's the gimme for all the Marines.
Yeah.
Get armor and contempt. Which, by the way, I'm glad it's there. Did use it. Will continue to use it. Even on Sanguinary Guard, sometimes you want to, you know, try to stay in the 2+ range.
Yep. The first one of these is essentially a, you know, get a Death Company unit killed on an objective. And if you control that objective, you can sticky it. As in, like, it will remain under your control. Very similar to Stratagem of the World they just have. Which is very funny to me to see these two things coming together. We all knew it was going to happen. Final retribution
is completely different. It is completely and totally different.
You keep telling yourself that.
Yeah. Final retribution is a 1 CP fight on death. Adding 1 to the result if the unit is within 12 of a chaplain. On a 4+, they fight on death. 3+ if they're in range of a chaplain. That's pretty good. 1 CP, 3+ fight on death is a pretty good rate for such a thing. Furious Assault is up next.
Typically, though, I'm like somewhat against... Well, I'm not against them existing. I'm just against using command points I have to burn and then roll to see if something happens. But this seems worth it.
Yeah, it does. Undoubtedly, you'll find reasons to use it. Furious Onslaught is up next, and it will give you a much better reach on your pile-in moves, where you move a D3 plus 3 instead of 3, and if you're within 12 of a chaplain, you just pile in 6.
That's
Where it's huge is with the fight again, the fight twice, once per game, of Sanguinius' Grace, where you know you can pile in, get within range of 2 units, kill 1, get you consolidate within range of 3 models, and then your Death Company character fights again, which can be really sick. Lost to Rage is up next. Improve the attacks, strength, and armor penetration characteristic of melee weapons equipped by models in your unit by 1. Unless your unit is within range 12 or more of a chaplain models, you have hazardous on those attacks. 1 CP until the end of the phase, improve the attacks, strength, and AP.
Digging that.
Have to be below starting strength, of course. With that unit. So one Death Company from your army that is below starting strength has not been selected.
Which is not hard to do. Phase. It's not hard to achieve being below starting strength.
No, but 1 CP for plus 1 AP strength and attacks is insane rate in the current game, especially on Death Company models. You probably don't need the help most of the time. But that one, those two guys that are left out of their, you know, 10 man unit, when they go up and they just kill an Imperial Knight.
I don't see the requirement for chaplains in the Death Company as a liability. I think it's very on theme, on brand, and well, I don't mind it having to be there as the to unlock the coolness of them.
They're hardly attacks unit anyway. Like they're pretty good. And then last one, Wrathful Rampage. It's in your movement phase just after Death Company from your army advances. It is 1 CP, advance and charge. If your unit is in 12 of a friendly chaplain model or is below starting strength, your unit is eligible to shoot also in a turn in which it advanced. So another, you know, access to advance and charge or possibly even advance and shoot on top. Really good stratagem suite. That, oh man, Lost to Rage. Yeah, 1 CP plus 1 strength attacks and armor penetration is the absolute winner for me.
Just Lost to Rage. You know how it is.
Yeah. Well, you know, when the chips are down on your turn 4 and turn 5, you have like a quarter of your army left versus your opponent's quarter of their army left. That thing is just going to pay dividends.
Completely agree. Let's talk about this third and final detachment in the book, and then we'll take a quick break. This is the Angelic Host. This is the one that drew me to the most, actually. This is the one I kind of leaned heavily into in my play test. This is upon Wings of Fire. At the end, this is the detachment rule. At the end of your opponent's turn, you can select a number of Astartes Jump Pack units, depending on the point value. If you're playing 2,000 points, Strike Force, it's 2 units. Once you have made your selections, remove those units from the battlefield and place them into strategic reserves. In the reinforcement step of your next movement phase, set each of those units up using their Deep Strike ability.
So very similar to Hypercrypt and the Grey Knights detachment, but you know, unlike those armies, I mean, Grey Knights maybe, those armies are not lethal, crazy, melee powerhouses. We've seen a lot of Hypercrypt armies start to pivot into shooting assets, you know, units of 3 heavy destroyers, Doomsday Arcs, things like that, so they can just pick them up and put them into the firing lanes. This is going to be a much more pressure style list when used with the up and down mechanics.
We talked about Dante stats earlier, and you know, Dante can lead Sanguinary Guard, and you know, Sanguinary Guard are now a no fear unit. You can throw them out there in the danger zone, and they might make it. You know, I think it's likely that they do make it in most situations because of that invulnerable save, because of the 3 wounds, because of the 2+ armor save.
So enhancements. First up is Artisan of War. You improve the AP and the save characteristic becomes 2+ of the bearer. which is pretty good. It has to be a jump pack model, but I think that's all of them. Well, yeah, all of these have to be on a jump pack.
This is the jump pack. This is the jump pack detachment.
Who would have thunk it? Wild.
Yeah, the Visage of Death is the next one. Basically, this is like a mass sanguinous. In the battle shock step of your opponent's command phase, each enemy unit within engagement range of the bearer must take a battle shock test. That can be huge. You know all the drawbacks and limitations that battle shock gives you. It might make a difference. The Archangel Shard. This is very situational, but I dig it. The bearer's melee weapons have the anti-chaos 5+ and lance ability, so you can turn a captain's power fist or power sword into anything you want. This next one though is amazing. The Gleaming Pinions. Once per turn, remember I said per turn after everything I just said here in a second.
Yeah.
When an enemy ends a normal move, advance, or fallback move within 9 inches of the bearer, if this bearer's unit is not within engagement range of one or more enemy units, it can make a normal move of up to 6 inches.
Auto take. Yes. Absolute auto take. Yeah.
Let me tell you what happened.
Every list.
Yeah, in this. I'm outside of a ruin. A tank gets driven up next to me. Guess what? I'm back inside that ruin.
You hate to see it. Or love to see it. I hate to see it.
I mean, it's look. You of course you tell your opponent what you have and stuff like that. But if you're playing on decent terrain, like those kind of situations will occur. Or so you're playing. Let's say you're playing the tempo game with another army. They're coming up to charge you. Now this doesn't trigger if they come down out of deep strike. That are outside of 9. It has to come within 9 to trigger the gleaming pinions. But if they're trying to get up there to shorten that charge, you just made it 6 inches worse.
What is it about a gleaming pinion that makes you move faster? I'm surprised.
It triggers. They're well oiled in the back of the jump pack. I'm out. Ooh.
They're gleaming. Does it mean,
well,
if they're oiled, they wouldn't.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what Fine.
It fires off. Out.
The stratagem suite, of course, has Amric Contempt in it. The first stratagem, though, is really quite cute and is specifically for a Sanguinary Guard. It's an Unbridled Ardor. Essentially, when another unit in your army gets killed, you spend 1 CP, even though that unit was just destroyed, and then until the end of the battle, Sanguinary Guard units from your army reroll to hit and reroll to wound against that character, against that unit. So any unit that kills of your opponent's army that kills one of yours, it's any phase as well. It can be shooting or fighting, and then the same Sanguinary Guard just go to the absolute moon versus that unit.
And remember, this is on top of Oath of the Moment. Like all this
correct.
Stuff we're talking about is on top of Oath of the Moment.
Yeah, this unit is like 1 CP, and there your Sanguinary Guard is now completely Oath agnostic. No longer needs Oath of the Moment. Angel Sacrifice is where the previous stratagem that was in the index detachment has found its home, as in like it's 1 CP in the start of the fight phase, redirect all attacks onto one adeptus jump pack unit from
the
army.
It's so huge, which is also
really powerful.
Basically, this is like the Sanguinar's little pocket stratagem.
Yeah, it is.
Comes down, and so it's anybody with engagement range has to attack this one specific unit from your army, a character or unit or whatever. So what is often employed is you take the pressure off of a unit you don't want to die, something that maybe has better OC or has
correct.
Some other use or hasn't attacked yet or whatever.
Yeah, spot on, mate.
1 CP.
1 CP. I mean, actually, it's every stratagem in this book is 1 CP. This next one is Martial Exemplars. It's 1 CP jump pack unit gets lethal and precision, which is very good. Like, just 1 CP precision is already good enough in a lot of circumstances, but lethals as well, just a little cherry on top.
This is what I was talking about with the swords. So going with the swords and having a captain here that can get this at the discount. It's a, get the rights of battle. It's get the discount on the Martial Exemplars.
I think... Yeah.
Killing all the time.
Well, it just kills every character all the time.
Yeah.
You're all dead. Descent of Angels is a 3-inch deep strike. It's funnily enough, I think this is the worst army to have this one on. Because you don't have a deep striking shooting asset in this army. You can't charge off this, obviously, because it's the same as all the other contemporaries. But there isn't you can deep strike a dreadnought 3 inches away from somebody and just blow them up. You can deep strike heavy destroyers or Tau Crisis suits 3 inches away and just blow people up. This one, you deep strike away and you're like, maybe I have an Inferno pistol. Congratulations.
But you're not even in melter range for the Inferno
pistol.
You're
not even 3 inches. You have to be outside 3 inches. 3-point, like, minuscule. You can't even get melter range. It's really funny that this... It's probably the worst place to have this strategy.
The thing about this is that you can dump some decent OC maybe on an objective.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, 6 Sanguard and a character, that's 14 OC.
Yeah.
In 7 models. It's pretty good. And then the last one is Death from the Skies, which is advance and charge. Oh, sorry. It's even better. There's 1 CP. it's in your charge phase. To the end of the turn, your unit is eligible to shoot and declare a charge in turn in which it advanced or fell back. It is the best 1 CP version of that stratagem in the game.
Yep. It has to be on a jetpack model, so like not Mephiston. But
well, that's every single one of these attachments has advance and charge. Every single one. Which is good, because if one of them didn't have it, you would say that's the bad one, because all three of them have it. You're like, it's actually like, which one is worth playing? All of them.
Absolutely love those packages of, I think you can make a case for every one of the detachments. I'm drawn currently, like the one I think out the gate is the Angelicos.
Me too. Yeah.
But that's more that kind of, I think that fits into, I don't want to say a less nuanced play style, but it's like you could just take a collection of jump pack models that you may have in the Blood Angels already, put them on the tabletop, and it requires a little less, I guess, finagling to get that collection to work. And maybe that's why I'm drawn to it, but also really like the flexibility of being able to bounce off the table.
Yeah, I quite like it as well. I think it's quite cute. It is only jump pack models as well, which is really good, because otherwise you would be, you know, slapping down units of Devastator Centurions and stuff like that.
Just put them up. Yeah. Anyway, let's take a quick break. We'll come back, talk about some of the units, talk about some of the modeling and hobby opportunities now that we've got some idea of where it's going to go. We'll see you all in a second.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games, Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
We are back, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the break. Check out our sponsors. Check out these t-shirts. One of the t-shirts you can get. The link's in the show notes, I believe. I got a compliment on it just by some random person. I was walking around earlier today outside. They said, oh, I thought your shirt said forget the narrative. I'm like, that's part of the irony. Yeah, that is actually, that was...
Amazing.
I also have a shirt, but mine looks different from yours.
Yeah, there's a couple different designs up there.
Yeah, so. A little logo here, and then it's got like a big logo on the back. It's pretty cool.
So sometimes the title of the show is ironic. Oh, but talking about Blood Angels right now, Ball Predators in here, and if I had to give a critique, there's not really any stratagem support or seem to be like a real good home support for the Ball Predator. I think the Ball Predator still has similar uses that you were taking it before, but I would have liked to seen some of the like real support around this model in the Codex, other than just being just like a vehicle that happens to have some Blood Angel icons.
Yeah.
Cool stuff.
Yeah. Like we talked about this previously when we were talking about the, you know, it's, we're ripe for like a chapter specific gladiators. I also think we're ripe for chapter specific repulses and, you know, land speeder storms and stuff like that. Could you imagine having
Dark
a
Angels.
Land speeder storm? We don't have it.
No, I know. Yeah, it's no. So, but you're avid. Yeah. Like, maybe there's a reason you're thinking about this.
Well, I would definitely like Blood Angels to have like a flamer gladiator, so I could have a plasma gladiator. but how cool would it be to have a flamer on a land speeder storm? Like, just a land speeder storm, just with like, sorry, no, a storm speeder. Jeez. Sorry, guys. Not a land speeder storm. A storm speeder variant that's just full of flamers. It makes no sense, but hell yeah, let's do it.
Dude, I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you. But going to some of the more signature units, so the Death Company Marines, like with jump packs, we've talked about this a little bit before, hinted around it, but they've, you know, movement of 12, toughness 4, 3 plus save, 2 wounds, which is, you know, what you would expect. Leadership 6 plus, OC 1, OC 0, not without a chaplain.
Yeah.
But they do have a built-in reroll charge rolls made for the unit, which is nice. So another thing that will keep you, you know, from having to spend your precious command points. Because you will be, like, you did say that everything's like one command point, but you're going to want to spend a lot. Like, it is just a lot of, all gas.
There is a lot of usable command points, a lot of usable stratagems. We didn't mention what the actual profile of the Eviscerator was either. So sustained hits 1, 3 attacks, hitting on 4s, which is a little unfortunate, but, you know, there's a lot of ways to get around that in this book. Strength 7, minus 2, 2 damage. I think they are really cute, especially with having rerolls to hit already built in on all the Death Company models, so you're not really worrying about not having Oath of Moment with these guys. In fact, the Death Company detachment is like one of the least Oath of Moment centric Marine armies I've ever seen. They're just like, we don't even need. I'm gonna put my oath token over here on your unit in the back just to flex on you and show you how little I need this thing.
So the list that I played with was 3 units of 6 Sanguinary Guard. It's a lot of points, but I really did enjoy playing with them. Mephiston, Dante, Lamartis, a unit of Death Company with jump packs, a captain with a jump pack with a power fist and a plasma pistol, the Sanguiner, also the gleaming pinions on the captain. I think that is a don't leave home without it.
Agreed.
One unit of, I mean, cursors, 2 units of infiltrators, and that was the list. Now, how I would change that on my next playthrough, I'd in the list that I had with the Sanguinary Guard and the other characters, I'm not sure that I needed Lamartis and the Death Company jump packs.
Mm.
I'm also not sure that I needed 2 units of infiltrators. I probably would. So what the... It's easy to get in love without having, but with not having battle line on your units.
Yeah.
But this mission pack really incentivizes battle line. So I think I would include some of the assault intercessors, just the regular non-jump pack assault intercessors, and some jump pack intercessors in the list without the Death Company. I felt like I had enough power and punch in the Sanguinary Guard and the other characters to where maybe I didn't need to invest in that other character and this other expensive unit.
Yep, I getcha.
But, you know, that was just my initial run and where I was thinking about maybe where I'd go from there. Have not tested that other play, but I feel like if you're cracking open this codex, you will almost be drawn to not take as much battle line. But, you know, you gotta remember, you gotta play the missions, which kind of leads into the fact that Blood Angels sometimes, you know, want to just fight. They get so overcome by wanting to fight.
Yeah.
So having to rein it in just a little bit, I would include some more battle line in that list. But, you know, but that wasn't to say the Death Company weren't good. The Death Company are absolutely amazing. Just this particular shell of a list, I think, was built to where not necessarily needing that. But that's more got me thinking about what the depth of this codex is. And I think there are multiple good builds out of here, which is kind of like one of the ways I kind of rate how great a codex is, but how much I can change how I play and still be viable/competitive.
Mm.
I don't know what y'all's thoughts are past that on like the depth of the codex.
I think so. It's interesting, right? So these detachments do so much for all the Blood Angels specific units that you want to take. But the interesting part is that they do little to nothing for, you know, things like Hellblasters, Eradicators, Inceptors, Scouts, like the mainstay Space Marine units. Kind of like are not pushed to the side, but they're taken out of the magnifying glass. Where in just about, I think just about everything except Black Templars, I mean, even every Dark Angels list that I play has, you know, Eradicators and or Hellblasters in them. And these ones, those are really relegated to just utility. Like the units that you've been given in this book are so pushed, as long as the points are, you know, in a reasonable manner, that you're like, well, I just get to play with Blood Angel stuff. This is awesome.
And you're talking about like the detachment rules and the stratagems, they're all like really focused on the stuff that you have.
Yeah, correct. The only one that I would say is that similar to how the Index detachment is now, the Red Thirst detachment, I believe, leans itself very heavily to taking a lot of jump pack intercessors. But you can take Death Company jump pack intercessors as well if you want it instead. So yeah, I do think like the Blood Angel specific units in this book seem very, very in sync with the detachments, which I think is a great plus.
And I'm actually in love with the Sanguinary Guard. Like, I think that the beef they've got, the additions they've got, really are good. And although how often do we come, when we're building lists, we sometimes find that the third unit isn't necessarily...
Is the superfluous one. You're better off using, diversifying those points.
If the third unit comes out, the Death Company are coming earlier, are probably going right back in. Because they get so much cool stuff. Like, with Lamartis still does the thing where he subtracts damage coming in, you know, so you got to really hit him hard. And then, of course, the rerolls to hit, and then the rerolls to charge. Like, they don't need a lot of help from your command points, which is pretty big.
Yeah. I mean, and that's why I think an MSU just jump pack army, and it can very well be Angelic Host. It can be actually any of these, and you can make that army. Actually, that's really cool. You can make just like a here's one or two units of 10, either Death Company or Assault Intercessors or with jump packs or Death Company jump packs. And then here's just 5 mans of all the good units. And that army can play in every single one of these detachments, which is not something I can say for the Dark Angels Codex. You can have one 2,000-point list that can just play completely differently in three different flavors in the same codex. I think that is really good for players, for the player base. Whereas I have one where it's, I have Inner Circle, which is just like Inner Circle. It's like four units. I have one that's just Raven Wing, which is just Raven Wing. And then I have one that's like Green Wing, but worse than Gladius. And so I'm kind of jealous.
So I think you're on the hit the nail on the head with that basically MSU jump pack type style. And that's so in the with the changes that I was talking about to that list, I'm basically trading one unit for four units to basically give me advantages completing the missions. So that's who knows what that magic combination is, but it seems to fit on theme and does better, maybe potentially doing better at the missions. But you know what? Also, taking your opponent completely off the table with some cool units helps.
So one thing we sometimes do and don't talk about on these shows, and we've been doing it for years, how do we like the current like codex structure? I'm actually just scrolling through the codex right now, and I am adoring the collage of new and old art pieces that they've put into this book. Like the first one that I noticed come up is the OG Golden Tycho, you know, versus the Gene Stealers. These are the black trim red Blood Angels with the yellow blood drop. Just such an evocative piece.
Yeah, and let me show you some art. Like this is when you open your box, this is like the first thing that you see. Like,
oh, that's sick.
Yeah, and then on
I
the
really
back
like that. I really like that grayscale red Death Company poppy stuff. What is the ram set for?
I think that this is the Librarius. So this is like the crux for the librarian, I believe.
Is that Mephiston's sigil or something? Or
well, it's not on Mephiston, I don't think.
But
Mephiston is represented. Like, you know, this is where the cards are, and the cards have the red foil on the sides. The book also has the red foil on the sides. The thing comes with like a slipcase that you can keep your stuff in. This is what it comes in the box in. As you can see, I've taken it out because I had to look at it immediately. But the book, if you're into the limited edition books, you are into Blood Angels, you will love this. I didn't know if it came with the bookmark, but it does. So really happy to see that. And then you've got the red. You can kind of see it reflecting off the light there. Like, just loving it.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and all that art you were talking about is art from every generation from the beginning of the game to
there's
now.
some Space Hulk art in there. There's some Devastation of Baal artwork in there. There's some I don't know which one was the campaign versus the demons, but there's a someone with the I can't remember
that
was from
fifth edition, right? That was the fifth edition. Codex.
And then the new stuff, which is the very Death Company Intercessor centric, which I love the coloring saturation on it with the really poppy red, and everything else is very muted and almost grayscale. I think it's gorgeous.
So thanks a lot, Games Workshop, for sending that our way. Going to be continuing to dive into this. I'll keep you. Don't worry, I'll keep already updated on my army list and changes.
Oh, thanks, mate.
But let me tell you, it's very satisfying when you don't fail. Four Melty hits. Hits your Sanguinary Guard and you pass all your four invulnerable saves. You're like, I'm real good at warning.
Oh, yeah. But that feels real good.
But before we wrap up, I want to bring back the finishing moves. Finishing moves is like quick things you can do with painting to really kind of like take your painting to the next level. Maybe after you're already done with the model, this is one of those criteria. Sometimes you're like, what could I do? What could I spend five more minutes on to make this look awesome? And in the line of the proud honor tradition of the finishing moves, Tanya, you have something for us.
I do, but it should, I guess, be called like beginning moves or something. I guess we could argue that this is going to give you more time to do more finishing moves. And I don't know about you guys, but when I first started painting, I really, really struggled with metallics because the paint is in a very almost like transparent medium and the metallic flakes are like a little bit thicker, well, quite a lot thicker actually than the pigment inside like a regular opaque paint. So I was getting like a lot of streaks. It didn't look like real metal. And I was like, what am I doing wrong? And then so I'm going to basically tell you how I do all of my metallics and on my orcs specifically, because they have a lot of metal. My army is Death Skulls, so they have lots of like metallic bits all over them. So what I do is I prime them black and then I just do a fairly heavy dry brush over the entire model, and that honestly is good enough. So if you were doing gold, say, I don't know, maybe you picked up a Blood Angels box or something, if I was going to approach that and be like, okay, how am I going to do these metallics in a way that looks not streaky, but in fact kind of looks like brushed metal, and it can do it fast, I would probably just prime it all brown, and then I would just heavy dry brush it gold of your choice. And I would probably use an eyeshadow brush that you get at the dollar store.
Oh, like a wider.
Yeah. Yeah. And one that has like the almost like the beveled edges on the side. So it's not like flat across. It's very like densely packed bristles, and it's like curved on the edges. And that's going to give you a really, really nice finish on your metallics. I mean, finish. It's two steps. And then if you wanted to, you could wash it. If you wanted to, you could do a second lighter dry brush on top of like a silver or a lighter gold, and then you're just good to go. You're done.
Look, you can't argue with the results either. Like, check out your Instagram. Like, you beautifully painted stuff. And I also love that tip about going, you know, outside of what, like, our hobby store to get the brushes that sometimes, like, they don't know what gold they're sitting on there at the drugstore. You know?
Yeah, and honestly, like, I just buy my brushes off Amazon. You can buy bulk brushes, and like, they're so inexpensive that it doesn't matter if you wreck them by dry brushing a model. You just toss it. It costs you like 10 cents for one brush. Just move on to the next.
Spectacular. Well, it has been a pleasure getting to talk about Blood Angels with y'all. And I hope folks, look, if you're a Blood Angels fan, we talked about in the very beginning the stuff that you may have to, like, you know, get right with, or let us know how it impacted you. If there are some things like that really have changed how you play the army, let us know, because maybe we can help with some suggestions about how to get back in that spirit and that groove. And happy to talk about it. Love talking about Warhammer. Love talking about Blood Angels even more. So that's our show this week. It's been a pleasure. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, leave some comments down below. This is your first time seeing us in this format. Wave, give us a wave. Cannot wait to see y'all next week. See everybody.
See you guys.
Bye, everybody.
Force mech scan is clear. I think they're gone. For now.